Welcome back on the Mighty 690 KGGF. Sam Speck with you, taking you through your morning as we are sitting in studio live from our KGGF studios with a couple of bullfighters from this weekend's Interstate Fair and Rodeo. We've got Kyle Lippincott and Evan Allard sitting in with us. Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Yes, as it's, wow, what an interesting job title that must be. Obviously, it's not for the whole year round, or is it? Is that your full year round job as a bullfighter?
Oh, yeah. This is my main source of income. I rodeo from January to, you know, my December is about the only month that's slow.
Wow, okay. So do you travel around a little bit more than just specifically here in Coffeyville then? Do you go everywhere PRCA is heading?
That's right.
Yeah. Yep. Well, sweet. That is pretty cool. So, Kyle, Evan, let's hear about it a little bit. How we spoke about it a little bit off the air, but how did you get into it? I mean, it was probably something you were surrounded as a kid, right?
Oh, yeah. You just grow up around it. And I guess there's some people that don't grow up in the rodeo scene that do it, but 9 times out of 10, it seems to be that way.
Yeah. Well, see, and I'm kind of the exception to that rule because nobody in my family's ever rodeoed. I mean, all we grew up kind of out in the country and, you know, showing cattle and doing little things like that. Now, not necessarily grow up in the city, but I never had any rodeo background at all. So
yeah, you didn't have dad or somebody, you know, involved in the rodeo, right? And things like that. So there is that exception to it, but still kind of obviously there's an adrenaline aspect to it. There's got to be here at this point. And then also kind of the aspect that you guys are almost the last line of defense as well. I mean, what gets you up in the morning and says, I want to go and, you know, bullfight and, you know, deter these bulls away from people?
Man, there's just no feeling in the world like taking an animal that weighs almost 2,000 pounds. Some of them weigh 2,000 pounds. And
jeez.
And you can control his movement. You can make that bull do what you want him to do. And, I don't even know that I get the adrenaline rush anymore. I, when I was younger, sure. But now I don't get nervous. I don't get scared. It's all about just that feeling of making a bull do what you want a bull to do.
Yeah, it's that sense of control that you just grasp onto it. And, I mean, it's right. It is amazing how big those animals are and how, you know, unpredictable that they can be. So I'm sure that you guys have seen, in particular, items from the bull, and then that's experience that comes into it as well, as you see certain ways that the bull turns, and you know, oh, he's going left, I need to go the other way, or I need to deter him over this way. Kyle, what is it the rush that gets you, or do you kind of numb out like he does and just kind of goes into natural?
We've both been doing it for a while, you know, and if you don't get a little nervous, you know, I'd say it's you're probably lying, but it's just a reaction at this point, you know, and we've done it for so long, we've seen a lot of situations, and like Evan's saying, you're controlling the bull and you're reacting to him as well, you know. So you're getting him to do what you want off of his cues.
Yeah. One thing that me and Kyle have working in our advantage is the fact that there's really two different styles of bullfighting in America. We're here protecting cowboys. And when the bull rider falls off, our job is to give him a safe exit of the arena. Even if a bull rider rides 8 seconds, he's still got to get off that bull's back.
Yep.
And it's our job to make that happen as smoothly as possible. That's what we call cowboy protection. We also travel around what we call freestyle bullfights, where it's one man versus a bull that's bred to fight. We call them Mexican fighting bulls. And that gives us an advantage because we're in front of so many fighting bulls a year that these bulls that are bucking, and their job is to buck. Some of them are mean. Sure, they're mean. But we get to be around mean bulls, really fighting bulls, year-round.
Yeah, the ones really that are targeting you, you know.
Sure, it makes it a lot easier for us to slide in, read what this bull's doing, and do our job.
Well, yeah, that is kind of a step up and an advantage for, you know, adding to that experiential side of things. So how is it? I mean, obviously there's got to be some clothing, there's got to be some coloration, but how do you get this 2,000-pound animal distracted from its collision course, really, and get it to turn? How do you control the bull so well? Is it something you wear? Is it an action that you do? I mean, what is it?
You got to get your hands on them.
Hands on them, okay.
Yeah, so the clothing, everybody says, oh, you're wearing red, a bull will attack you. A cow, a milk cow, a bucking bull, any bovine is colorblind. Mm-hmm. They don't see colors. They don't charge colors. Bulls charge. If a bull's mean, he's going to charge movement and sound. So you get in there, hey, get him, yell at him a bit, touch him on the head,
yeah.
And he sees that movement, he feels that on his head, hears that yell. He don't care what you're wearing.
That's kind of a traditional, you know, Evan wears the same stuff, I wear the same stuff. You kind of fall into your own wardrobe, I guess. Right. But, yeah.
But like Kyle said, it's all about getting in the right spot, putting your hands on that bull, letting him feel. If a bull rider falls off and he's going to try to run over that guy, when he lowers his head and you reach in there and grab him, he thinks he's got him. He picks his head up and comes at us instead of,
yeah.
You know,
man, that's that's kind of really eye opening, because I'm sure for someone, I grew up in the Front Range of Colorado. You want to talk about somewhat of a city kid? I was that. You know, I mean, we had the Eastern Plains, and I had a lot of friends from Eaton that grew up on farms and things that weren't too far away from us. But I was never around, you know, this certain type of rodeos. I mean, there was rodeos in towns and things like that. But you know, I originally had fought that the Red Cape. The big, the red, the coloring, the cape, the waving. That was a big reason why the bull, or the coloring of what you got, you know, of what
certain
wear.
The big cape in the Spanish-style bullfighting, mm-hmm. It's not the color. It could be a blue cape or a green cape.
Movement.
It's the movement. It's the movement that cape makes that causes that bull to charge.
Yeah, and that's a bit eye-opening. I had, you know, I did not know that at all, and wow, I mean, it just kind of goes upon it. So with that, it is kind of that wavy, almost liquidy movement that it has on the on the red. And then the red's probably more for, you know, the people in the stands than anything. That has nothing to do with the bowl. So interesting things there that they are, you know, colorblind. I had no idea. Well, actually, I probably did, you know, just animals in general. To compare. But so you guys, you know, kind of the last line of defense in terms of it. Obviously, we're not going to dive into the worst case scenario, but what are some things that you guys have, you know, ran into? You've been doing it, like you said, January through December.
Yeah.
There's obviously some risks that come upon with it.
Oh, yeah, there's risks, but they're managed risks to a point. I mean, we know the risk when we walk in the arena, and is a guy scared of getting run over? Well, sure. I don't want to be run over. I don't want to get hurt. But you know, when I enter a bullfight, or when I enter this arena to protect cowboys, my fear of losing or my fear of doing a bad job scares me way more than any bull does.
Yeah, you know? And I think that speaks miles and miles, because people, they just see down there and they're like, oh, this is just some crazy guy that wants to shade this bull away. No, you're out there protecting. You are out there doing a job, and you're, again, last line of defense. If someone, if he gets a chop to the chin and becomes a little, you know, a little dazed or whatever, and he can't make his way to the side and that bull's coming at him, you potentially just save somebody's life. And
a lot of the times they'll come off and their hand will hang up in the rope and they can't get free, and that's our job.
Just getting dragged, whipped around. And I think that speaks, again, miles and miles beyond the job, but then also the type of person that it takes to become a bullfighter as well, because, you know, you aren't out there. Again, the adrenaline, I think you guys are nuts. I think you guys have just absolutely blew out your adrenaline glands. You got no more of them, because, you know, it's just become an everyday thing. It's you're used to it, and you go out there, and I like how you say, you know, I feel like I'm doing a bad job if someone gets in the way of harm, and that speaks big for it. So I enjoy that you guys are going to be out there, you know, making sure that these fighters are safe.
Well, I think, you know, and there's other things that goes into the job that kind of gets pushed to the side anymore. There's a rodeo clown here, mm-hmm. and his job is to be in the barrel and tell the jokes and kind of comedy relief. But at the end of the day, the people that pay us are the people that are putting on this rodeo, and the way they make money is to have people in those stands. And yeah, we're bullfighters, we're cowboy protectors, but we're entertainers too. We're in the show business. And you know, if you can get a bull to chase you, and you can, you know, run up the fence and scream, you know, and make people, there's things to, you can go out there and just be serious and fight bulls and do a fine job.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of a little bit old school. I like to do a little bit of, not necessarily comedy, but I like to have a little fun and
no reason
do a
not to. Don't just,
you know,
make it your strict 9-to-5 type of thing. Go out, have some fun with it.
It's a little harder, and you know, we're unfortunate in one way here that it's rained so much, and we was in the mud last night, and
yeah.
you kind of got to bear down and pay a little bit more attention, and it's probably going to be worse tonight. It rained all night long, I think, or it did it at home. So, you know, there's times to pay a little bit more attention, times that you can cut loose and have a little bit more fun.
Yeah, certainly, and it comes along with that experiential type of thing. So we are one day through the rodeo, and you said you guys were involved with that last night and then tonight as well. How was night one? How did it go?
It was really good. We got a new stock contractor this year, and there's a bunch of entries, and his bulls were exceptional. I guess that's what we see firsthand, you know, and you got a lot of bull riders. They only rode, what, two?
Yeah, but they got two rode, and that don't happen every rodeo that we go to either. I mean, at Pretty Prairie, Kansas, this last year, I guess it was, or this year one, there's a four-night rodeo, and the very last bull rider of the whole deal is the only guy that rode the whole week.
Oh,
and people, you know, this is a good rodeo. They had really good bulls. They had a couple guys that got a couple rode, and I didn't get to pay a whole lot of attention to some of the other timed event stuff, but I think it was really good all the way around.
Yeah, just kind of went off the hitch, and good to hear that the rodeo is going to go in that way. Well, for obviously you paid a little bit more attention. Is there any names? Is there anybody tonight that you know, for somebody that's heading out to the fair that you heard a lot of last night that was making moves of, you know, riding these bulls?
I'm a fan of Coy Pohlmeier. He just turned 18, just got his permit, and he rides bulls really, really good, and he's really hungry. And Trey Holston rides good too. He was the high school champ last year, and he does good. I think it'll be just as good tonight as it was last night in the bull riding anyway.
Now, obviously it's 2 days, so was like preliminary rounds yesterday, and then do we crown a champion today, or were there winners from yesterday to today?
No, I think Coffeyville, I think it's a one-head, it's a one go-around of you know, so the best score, the best time in every event wins.
Gotcha.
Except for in the single steer open, and it's a two-head average.
Gotcha. Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Well, what do we got on for tonight? I mean, obviously it's day two, wrapping up rodeo, and then demo derby tomorrow, but we don't get there without getting through day two of the rodeo. So what do we expect with day two of the rodeo tonight?
Probably some mud.
Oh, certainly some mud. Certainly,
but don't
some mud,
be afraid
no
of that.
About.
Make sure you come out and support the rodeo.
The bleachers will be dry, so.
Yeah.
Well, it looks to me like what we're going to have is we're going to have a first night of the weekend with a good rodeo. It's going to be nice and cool, and might be a little bit muddy, but, hey, that's part of the fun.
Yeah, no reason not to. And, again, the weather, the cool-off will be nothing but pleasant.
And we're in Kansas. We got rain. People ought to be happy. They ought to come out and
I swear, I was just reading something online about a drought, a serious drought throughout our area, and then boom.
Track.
4 to 7 inches just out of nowhere.
Maybe everybody will be in a good mood with the rain that we're getting.
We'll see. So bullfighters Kyle Lippincott and Evan Allard, thanks for spending some time with us this morning, and be safe tonight, guys, for sure.
Thank you.
A bit.
All right, this is the Mighty 690 KGGF.